Cooper was going to teach, and then he's always flying. So he's coming back, I think, this morning. But so David asked me to teach. And I had taught what Jim taught us that meant so much to me, the four uses of the law. I taught that in Dallas, and it didn't show up on the recorder. So David said, well, why don't you teach that again? So anyway, I'm going to share the main point first. I'm going to say Galatians 2, 19 and 20. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live unto God. So the law brings you to the end of yourself, realizing you can't be good and you can't do it. That's what creates relationship. Because the next verse is, for through the law I died to the law, that I might live unto God. It's no longer I that live. There's your death. Because you can't do it. But Christ that lives in me. So that's the Christian life. It's not you living for God. It's God living for you, in you and through you. And that's what we all want. We need a living relationship with Jesus, where he's living the Christian life in us. So now I want to share, when I grew up, it was not that. It was totally law for me. I grew up in a Baptist church here in Fort Worth. And when I was like six or seven, the guy was preaching hellfire and damnation. You know, if you don't become a Christian, you're going to hell. You know, and I don't know why I was listening, I was a little kid, but I heard that. And it just put terror into me, and I knew I had to get down front to get saved. And I was scared to go down front because there's like 150 people there. I was just a kid. Anyway, I finally went down, and the guy, you know, he said, do you want to pray the prayer of salvation? Put the microphone on. I was like, I don't know the prayer. I'm a kid. And so he prayed it for me. And I remember thinking as I left, nothing happened. I didn't feel God coming into me. And that, I was like, I don't know if I'm saved or not. So I had that in the back of my mind. And I remember thinking when we went to do water baptism, I thought, well, when I come out of the water, maybe that's when he'll do it. And I didn't feel anything. So I said, So that was my angst. I always thought, I mean, nobody said you take it by faith. And I didn't even know what faith, I didn't even know what that meant anyway. It wouldn't have meant anything to me. So I grew up thinking I had doubts. And I had that in the back of my mind forever, that if you don't experience God, something's wrong, something's missing. And that's true. But now I've learned for all these years that it's through the simple word, it's received by faith. Just receive him by faith, and then the peace comes, and the joy comes. But the four uses of the law, this helped me so much when Jim taught it. The four uses, I'll just tell you right away. The four uses are to declare, to destroy, and then to drive you to the gospel, and then to describe you. Because the gospel's fulfilled the law. That's the whole teaching right there. And I thought the whole time my problem was when I grew up, I had a mixture. I had a lukewarm religion. I had a mixture between law and gospel. Because it looked like there's a lot of verses that say there's something to do. So I don't think I really heard the gospel until I came here and heard Jim. And I thought, I don't know how you get that. And I realized over the years, what God wants is to kill our religion. I think that's chair five that Jim taught. It kills your religion so that you realize all you can do on your part is sin. That's a fact. So you still have a flesh as a Christian, and that's in your soul. That's not who you are, but you still have a flesh. And how do you deal with that? Well, you don't overcome it. He's already overcome it. So you go by faith. But I didn't understand all that growing up. It took me years to really get that. One day it just when Jim was talking about death, I realized, oh, this is totally different than what I thought. Death means I can't. Not I will, but I can't. And God is waiting for us to get to that point. For, you know, it says, Christ is the end of the law for all those that believe. He wants the law in us to kill us, meaning to kill our self-righteousness, our religion, that we think we can do anything for God or have anything to do with it. It's totally outside of you, even after you're a Christian. But it's in your spirit. But as far as the soul, it's not in your soul until you... I mean, Jim used to say he died in his sin every day. In his sin every day. So that's all you can offer God is your sin. And that's how you get into the presence of God. Because the blood of Jesus only applies to your sin. It doesn't apply to morality. And so if you're bringing morality to God, he's not even going to recognize you. You won't get his attention. But if you bring sin in, which you can always do, because you always have a flesh. It's not you sin when you stole some candy or you, you know, it's not these moral things that we have. It's sin is everything you do in your flesh, because you're incapable of doing good with your flesh, even as a Christian. That's the key to the Christian life. Not I, but Christ. But, okay, the first use of the law is to declare what God wants. He declares what he wants. He wants Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He didn't say you could do it. He said that's what he wants. And that'll tell you where you're at. You know, Israel, you know, Jim always said, Israel should have said, we can't. Instead, they said, I will. And that's the key to the Christian life, is when you say, I can't. You come to the end of the law. That's how the Christian life is lived. It doesn't start until you come to the end of you doing something for God. You can't produce any of these things. But what he wants is perfection, to be as holy as he is holy. Only God can be as holy as he is holy. And so the quicker, that's why Israel was called stiff-necked. It wasn't because they didn't keep the law, it's because they didn't admit they couldn't keep it. That's what God was getting at. It says that in the Psalms somewhere. It says, I'm paraphrasing, they don't know me, they don't know my ways. In other words, they think they can be good. That's really what it is. That's stiff-necked and hard-hearted, you know. So to become, not hard-hearted or stiff-necked would be to be pliable, because you can't do anything. And that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for your righteousness or holiness. You don't have any. He's looking for you to admit to the every day, I can't do this thing, Jesus. You do it. He's waiting for us to say that. So the second use of the law is to destroy. So if you're under the law, the purpose of the law is to destroy your self-righteousness, your religion. Paul says that in Philippians, I think it's 3, where he says, I was the top religious guy, or I was on my way to the top. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and I did everything according to the law, and I did it perfectly. You know, of course it's not, you can't do it perfectly, but according to that system, I did everything you're supposed to do. I lived that way. And then he said, I gave all that up, that dung. I gave all that up to be found in him. It's a righteousness outside of us. And that's true every day. But when we find that, then the peace of that gets into your soul and changes you. Because you don't have to be good. You can't be good. And you don't have to. That's our liberty. You're righteous by faith. You continue in the law of liberty. So to destroy, to make us see that we can't keep the law, destroys your self-confidence that you have anything to do with this. You don't. And you don't need to. To make us see our guilt, Romans 3, he goes into this long list of our sins, quoting the Psalms in Romans 3, and then he says, for by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now you're coming to the gospel. So the law brings you to the gospel. To drive us to Christ, that's the third use of the law. So when you know you can't keep it, you start looking for, as Jim said, plan B. Is there another plan? Because I can't do this. And in my life, I realized something. Jim always told me this when I talked to him by myself. He always said, you're not real enough. So when you're totally real with God, that means about your sin. That this is who I really am in the flesh. Then the blood of Jesus will give you mercy, and that brings you into the presence of God. And the presence of God changes you. So it actually means, you know, we used to have the chairs up here. Chair two, if you're a chair two, which I was, and I still have that in me, but when you go from chair two to chair one, means from a religious sinner to a outright cold sinner. So I would that you were hot or cold, not lukewarm. Lukewarm, he can't do anything with that person. So the lukewarm individual needs to go to chair one and be what he really is. And this happened in my life. It took forever. I mean, there were stages where it would happen more and more. So I would say if you grow up in church, and there are some people that are real in denominational churches and they get filled with the Spirit, you know. Anybody that's real, you're going to receive from God. That's all he wants. But I wasn't. I suppressed sin. And when I got to the point where I was so angry at God because he didn't give me what I wanted, which was all about me too, you know. And he's never disturbed about any of our sins, so that's not a problem. But I was afraid of God growing up. I was afraid I wouldn't make it, like that little kid that I was afraid, I'm not really a Christian. I'm not really a Christian. I still have that in me. When I put the word on it and look away from myself and look to him, the peace comes. It's amazing. It's so simple, and I knew to do that, but I never really did it. But it helps to say it with your mouth, to confess it. Anyway, I forgot where I was going. When you're cold and you have no religion, you're just cold, like Walter. I love Walter. And he received a lot of flack from religious Christians, some of them even in our neighborhood. But I knew what was going on in his life because I had the same kind of life. And I talked to Jim about it a billion times. Slow to die. And that's what's happening with Walter right now. He is really growing. Anyway, the point is, when I became cold, I lost my religion. It was only because I was angry at God because he didn't give me something that I wanted that would have made me great. You know. Then it was like, what happens is when I'm at my worst, tongues just starts coming up. And I'm not even thinking about it. I'm not trying to do it by faith or anything like that. And that started recently, and I was like, man, I wish Jim was still here. I could tell him how great this is. And it's like God is saying, hey, Clay, come right in here, be this bad person, and stay there. Stay there. Quit running off and afraid that I'm going to get you and punish you. Just stay right here in your sin. This is the one I love. Remember how many times Jim said that? This is the one I love. You'll never grow in faith until you know that God loves you. Faith which works by love. It's in Galatians. The only thing to do really is to know that God loves you. Be yourself and let God love you as you are, just like Jim told us 1,000 times. So this started to happen to me recently. It's like my life's actually falling apart. You see me and you don't know that, but I talked to Jim about it. And because I didn't become the man of God I wanted to be, which is really just a pride of life thing. But he's not ever mad at any of that. So it's not stop sinning. It's you can't, and I love you just like that. You mean do nothing about it? You never did do anything about it. You just make it worse. The law is the strength of sin. If you're under law, you're going to sin more. If you're under grace, you're going to sin less. That's the law is mercy and power. That's the presence of God because he loves you as a rotten person. And a lot of people, Jeff was talking about forgiveness. A lot of people, and I do this, everybody does this. We forgive, but we really don't. We just say we forgive. If you forgive all the way, you're, and you can just do it by faith, because I remember thinking in a certain situation where I hated that person, and I realized God wants me to just admit it and then receive his love, and then you can forgive. Actually, you could just forgive by faith in the very beginning, because your spirit already forgives. We don't live out from our souls and our bodies. We live out from the spirit. But I love now going into prayer and just saying, God, I hate that guy's guts. You know, I just say it straight out. I remember that was one of the first things Jim ever told me, Monty, was I remember I was here. I was up from college. I don't know if you guys knew the Ryans. Susan Ryan was a David knows. The Ryans went to the old Lutheran church. I guess you knew them. No? Oh, they didn't. Okay, I thought they did. Anyway, they were here in the early 80s, and Susan was at Baylor with me, and she was 1 year older than me. And I was talking with some friends down there. We had a kind of a home group. We had three or four home groups meeting, and it was a Baptist church, but it was spirit-filled people. And I felt like I wasn't really spirit-filled, but this is what I want. I don't know how you get it. And but anyway, Susan introduced me to Jim, because she said, you guys are saying stuff like, sounds like my pastor. And so she gave me two tapes, and one of them was Jacob. Jacob wrestled with God. I feel like that's my whole life been that way. So I say, give me this thing. You promised this thing. He's going to touch your thigh first, and you're going to limp away. You're going to be weak when you get it. You can't get it unless you're weak. And you were born weak, but you don't want to admit it. But anyway, so what was I saying? So she introduced me to Jim, and when I listened to that, I was like, wow, that's where I'm going to go to church when I get back out of Baylor. And I met Jim before I was out of Baylor, and then I came up during the holidays, and he was teaching here on Tuesday. He was in that room, and I listened to him, and I can't remember what he taught. And afterwards, I asked him, how did you get that, what he talked about? And he said, and then he just talked about what he talked about. And I was like, no, but how did you get that? And then he said, oh, when you're real with God, he'll be real with you. I was like, whoa, I don't know if I'm real. You know, it's better to be, not grow up in church in many cases. It's better. It's better to grow up in chair one than chair two religion. Religion really is the only sin in the world. There is no other sin. All the other ones are derived from that flesh. And that flesh man that we all were, the first Adam, he's been removed on the cross. But how come that didn't work into our lives? Because you've got to be that person, be loved as that person. That will change you. That's how it works. And so I said all that to say this. Jim said, it's one of the first things he said to me was, you got to be real. He said when he prays, he realized, this was like in the 80s, he said the first part of his prayer, he was just getting to the point where he was totally real. He would speak the real flesh that he is, and then put the word on it, and he'd go back and forth between flesh and word, flesh and spirit, truth and reality, fleshly reality and spiritual truth. And he would just do that and nothing would happen. And then at a certain point in his prayer, he got the flesh all the way out. He said God was just sitting there waiting. It's like in your soul, he's just sitting there in a chair waiting. He's just waiting for you to bring out the real guy, because you don't want to bring him out. Maybe you're scared he's going to punish you. Maybe your pride won't let you do it. So when you bring out your worst person in your prayer, that's how he said he got a rhema every day of his life. He said, I would die in my sin. That's what death means. That's why Paul says, even though we died in Christ, the old man died, you need to die daily. not by working for God. That's the religion teaches death to self is beat yourself up, make yourself right with God. That was, we heard that in the Middle Ages, Catholic, and it's still in the churches, Protestant, Catholic. It's this idea that God wants us to do things. He said to do it. It's right there. I see it. You're under law, and you're not going to get out of it until you die under that law, until that law leads you to your sin and a realization that you can't do it. You're still under law. That's why he gave it. So he gave the law as a wonderful thing. The law is a wonderful thing. It teaches you you're rotten. You're no good. And if you bring that to God, here's my present today. This rotten flesh, and it's something specific that you do or think or feel. Then he's going to give you grace. And now you feel his peace. And just, Jim said he would just get to reality real quick. See, it's just you and God talking, so you don't have to, people aren't around. You don't have to worry about their opinions. But that was the first thing he ever said to me, was you got to be totally real with God. Be who you are, let him love you as you are. And that's finally happening in my life. I would say it happened in bits and pieces over the years. But lately, it's like I have no ability to suppress anything. I have no ability. I think that's the way Flood started, because I listened to his testimony. He sounds like Jim. I don't remember all the details, but I love his testimony, because he didn't even go to church after he became a Christian, because he knew in his spirit something wrong with those places. He knew that. That was the spirit. And all he did was listen to God. And I was like, man, I wish I'd grown up like that. So anyway, the point is, be yourself, relax. Don't try to work for God. And in prayer, just say, just bring out your worst man. He's waiting for that. He can't do anything until you bring out who you really, he knows who you really are. That's the one he died for. And that's the only one he can work with. That's why Jim said, if you're lukewarm, he's not going to do anything until you are cold. You already are cold. You're just trying to be good or whatever, or fooling yourself. And so, like I said, I can't suppress anything anymore. And I have friends that tell me, oh, don't do that. And I was like, how many times did you hear Jim teach? Did you ever hear him teach? You know, are you kidding me? You will not be blessed by the Lord. You won't have any sanctification, which is holiness, which is Christ in you, not you living for him, but him living for you, until you're dead in your sin. I can't. Your I can't is like a gateway that opens the door to him who says, I will. I already did it, and I will do it in your life. He didn't just do it 2,000 years ago and ask you to look at that, which he does. But he also wants to do it in you. But he can't until you're dead. For I, through the law, died to the law. That's Romans 7. So that I might live unto God. And here's how I live unto God. I don't. He does it. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So I love Romans 7 now, because it's so important to know that that's a Christian talking. That's an apostle. He called himself chief of sinners. That's what Jim did. That's what he did with us. If you can't handle that, then you're missing something. And I always wanted that. I wanted to be real like him, but I just couldn't. I couldn't do it. I mean, I was sinning all over the place. When you're under law, you sin more. When you're under grace, you will sin less. It will, because you have peace. Okay. To declare the law is the first use of the law. To destroy your religion is the second use. And then to drive you to Christ, because there's no hope. Now he can work with you. There's no hope in you. So you've died to you being a Christian, and you go to him who is the Christian to drive us to the gospel. Romans 5:20. I think Paul was talking about this a while back. I love this verse. The law entered that the offense might abound. Now, how many churches teach that? I would say almost none. They all say the law is given so that you would obey it. Right here it's saying the exact opposite. The law came that sin might abound in you, even Christians. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, so that as sin reigned unto death, but now being under grace, so might grace reign through righteousness, which is a free gift, it's not holiness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So grace is mercy and power. When you receive the mercy, the power is right around the corner. Because if you have peace and you know God loves you while you're at your worst, now there's nothing to do. And you start to feel that. And now you can love your people. And it's not a matter of doing it. It's a matter of, because he loves me, I'm going to be kind to people. And if I'm not being kind, it's because I didn't get with Jesus that morning or something. So I love that verse. The law came that offense might abound. That's the purpose of the law. And it says in Romans 7:13. This is for Christians too. It's not only from before you were Christians, but it's while you're a Christian. Because you still have a flesh, but it's in your soul. He's not in your spirit. But you still can't conquer the flesh except by dying under the law. I can't do it. You've already done it. And you accept his love, and then you'll find yourself with the power of the Spirit. I think, first of all, it's just peace and joy. I'm not even thinking about doing works. I'm just talking about getting that peace and joy in your soul. You got it made from there. The law came that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. That's the same thing as abounding. If you're exceedingly sinful, then you will know the grace of God if someone shares the gospel with you. The law came that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And that's a Christian talking. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present. This is a Christian. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So before we're Christians, we know we can't be good, but I didn't grow up that way. So it took forever to go from chair 2 to chair 1. And it'd be better, honestly, it would be better for most people if they grow up in church and they don't hear the full gospel, which they won't. Sorry, but they won't. And some do, though, because they're more simple. And they just hear it, and they're blessed, and they're saved, and they even receive the Spirit, even though they're Baptists. But anyway, it would be better to go out into the world and become the real sinner that you already are. Jesus will meet you there. He will meet the cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. Lukewarm is the only one he can't do anything with. So you have to go from lukewarm to cold. The law came that sin might, by the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. That's in you. He's talking about you. 7:18, Romans, I already said that in my flesh dwells no good thing. I will to do it, that's my spirit. I will to do it. I want to get up in the morning and read and pray and read the Bible and get blessed. But I find I can't do it. I can't do it, Jesus. How to perform that which is good, I find not. Again, 23 through 25, I see another law in my members. This is a Christian. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's in my soul. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I don't think he meant his physical body. I think he meant, sometimes Paul called it, the body of sins, which was taken away on the cross. We've been circumcised with a spiritual circumcision. It says, circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know, in Jeremiah, he says, I'm not going to do this law when we have the new covenant. I'm not going to do the law like we did in the old covenant. I'm going to write the law on your new heart. And so he's saying, in my spirit, I do want to follow the Lord, but I can't do it. That's a Christian. And you say, yeah, but you can do it as a Christian only by faith, only by dying daily. I can't. He can. He did. And now he will as I behold him. Beholding him, we are transformed. But the first thing to behold is that he forgives you daily because you have a flesh daily. He forgives that. He removed it from your spirit. It doesn't have any bearing on you. That's why he says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 3 of 8, he says, he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, not you. Verse 1, not you, he condemned your sin, meaning in heaven, no one's sin will ever have any bearing unless they didn't believe. You didn't take the gift of righteousness. You didn't take my grace. That's the only thing you're going to be judged for. So even these people that are doing human trafficking and all these evil things, I hear people sometimes online saying, the good guys are the ones that don't do these really, really bad things. I'm telling you, those people are going to hell too, unless they believe. There's no difference. For there is no difference, it says, between Jew and Greek. That means those who are under the law, those who are not under the law, you're all sinners by nature. No one can keep the law. None is good, no, not one. That's the basis of the gospel, is that you can't do anything good. So this is what I love about Romans 7, because I'm a Christian trying to get a hold of this thing and I couldn't. Here he's saying right here, we have total freedom, because he's not saying you need to obey it. He's saying you can obey it. I'm waiting for you to admit it and look to me. Who will, see, where is it? I don't know where it is, but the end of Romans, he says, who will set me free from the body of this death? I think I just read it. Thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you have the life of the Spirit. This is totally different. This is not you living for God now. This is Him living in you and through you. So let's get that down. A lot of people wondered why. I heard certain people say after Jim died, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, meaning they were talking about ministry things, and he was waiting for the men to get a hold of this. It has to be a living relationship, not head knowledge. Not head knowledge that God, you can even say the words, God is good and live by faith, but if you didn't die under the law, if you didn't die in your sin, because you can't be good, you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it. You're still living by the outer man. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, he called them whitewashed walls. So I'm assuming that means in those days they would take soap of some kind and scrub the outer walls of their homes or some building. And that's what religion is you're changing the outer man, which is you're not changing anything. He sees right through that. Inside you're filled with, what do you say, ravening wolves or something. He always made it really bad. And it's like, that's what you are. Everyone's that way. There's no one different. So don't get rid of that. You can't. Realize that you can't. Give it to Him. He'll give you His love and grace. So you get filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. That's Romans 8. Because you died under the law and realize all you can do is sin on your part. That's Romans 7. Romans 7 leads to the real Christian life. He already dealt with Romans 3 through 5 is grace and mercy and righteous by faith. Because all you can do is sin. And that's all tier 4. And then how do you get 5 and 6? 6 is the glory. Well, you get that by dying to your religion in 5. Because you die daily. Because why did Paul say, I died to my sin on the cross? I wasn't even there. He got rid of my sin. So why would he say I have to die daily then? I know people that left this church because they were offended of by chair 5 teaching that because it's hard to understand unless you're dead. I understood it, but I wouldn't say I was dead yet. I understood what he was saying, though. He was saying, I can't. Even as a Christian, you have to say that every day, I can't do this. And the more you look to God, God, you do it. You do it. You sanctify me. You live in me. You do it all. And you won't come to that conclusion until you're no longer suppressing. You're just, you know, and Christians say, yeah, but if we do that, we won't be holy. It's the exact opposite. If you don't do that, what you already are, then, you know, if you don't realize it, then you'll never, you know, the law is the strength of sin. So the more you're under the law, the more you're going to sin. I love this, Galatians 5, 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Well, we just went over that. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And Christians still think that you need to conquer that flesh, because you're a Christian now. You have Spirit, but you won't, unless you're dead. That's your five. I can't do this thing, God. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, that you will, even as a Christian. But if you be led of the Spirit, here's the key, you're not under the law. You're not under law. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty which wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, that's the law. Really, going back to the law is the only sin. I think it's what Paul meant when he said, don't go back to your vomit. Don't go back to, I mean, Hebrews is all about don't go by law. The law is gone. It was a shadow, and Christ is the body. The law is the shadow, and Christ is the body. Christ is your salvation received by faith. While you're no good, which you always are no good. What was I going to say? It's quiet in here. So anyway, he declares the law, declares what he wants, be perfect. And then it destroys your religion, thinking that you can, you know, before you were under law, you just kind of lived, and then when you're under law, man, all kinds of sin comes up because that's what its purpose is. And you find that you were worse than you thought. I remember when I was young, teenager, I thought, I'll never do that sin. And I did it later on. I did, because I was mad at God. And he's just waiting for me to, you still haven't brought out the real clay. I'm waiting for him. He's the one I love. That's why you don't know my love. I love you to death, but I can't reveal myself to someone that doesn't exist, to a fake clay. We still have that in people here in Emmanuel. And the ones that grew up without that, they always go further. That's why you're growing right now, Walter. You're growing. I see a lot of growth in him. And he's getting words all the time from the Lord, waking him up at night. Stop it, God. I'm trying to go to sleep. And people think, you know, forgive, but. You didn't forgive. So he declares the law. Then the law destroys you. Then that drives you to the gospel. And then the last one. Now the law describes you because the law has been fulfilled by the gospel. Therefore, when it says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, it's a promise. It's not in the future. It's already done. So you need to say that out loud every day. After you confess your sin, then you need to say the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. You love me. First of all, take the love. You love me just like that. I don't need to do anything about that bad sin that I've always had. The only reason you haven't got rid of it is because you still think you can. And so when you receive his love, now peace comes. Now a little bit of joy, maybe a song comes out. I'm amazed every time I do this, a song from my Baptist background comes up, an old hymn that I wasn't even thinking about. But it's in me because I think spiritual things you remember. Walter, you were talking about that the other day. I think it was you. Remembrance. You remember things that are spiritual because they're eternal. And they just pop up sometimes in your mind. And so I was receiving his love and grace. I felt peace. And all of a sudden, this old hymn came up. I can't remember which one it was. And this happens. This happens every time, but it happens a lot. So when you live by his grace, you got peace and joy. So the law describes you. So the law is just a description of Jesus, and that's who you are in Christ. So after you've received his grace, start declaring who you are. If any man be in Christ, any kind of man. He is a new creation. Not one day when you are holy. No, no, no. Holiness is a fruit of taking the free gift of righteousness and the new creation. Old things are passed away currently. Behold, all things are become new. So you just overcame your sin just by saying it. Don't look at your, that didn't count to God. What you're doing out here, what you're feeling. Yeah, we have to learn to put down our flesh by reckoning it already dead. Not doing anything about it. Reckoning. I'm a new creation. You said I'm a new creation. And then really at the beginning, it just seems to blow it up some more. Because it's like you don't realize how rotten you are. So just stick with grace. That's about it, really. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And I like James. I want to say this about James. I didn't like the book of James very much because it always sounded like he was saying, you need to add some works to your faith. Isn't that what it kind of sounds like? But if you read the key, he's definitely not saying that. The key is in the law of liberty. Somebody was talking about this recently. It's chapter 1. There's about 5, 6, 7 verses that talk about, David just was quoting it, receive with meekness the engrafted logos. Jesus is the logos, which is able to save your souls. That's sanctification. And then he says, you people that don't greet the guest that comes into the meeting or the you seat the rich man, you know, all that stuff he's talking about, you're doing that because you didn't continue in the law of liberty. That's what he said. You didn't continue in the law of liberty. I show you my works by my faith. I don't say I have faith and then don't have works. He's not saying you need to get works, add works. He's saying you received the law of liberty, that there's nothing to do. I'm perfect in him, not in myself. Do nothing but rest. He that has entered his rest has ceased from his own labors. So that's, and in the next chapter, in James chapter 2, he says, I love this. This is really strong. So live and so do as those who are to be judged by what? The law of Moses? If you're going to be judged by the law of Moses, you lost. You're going down. But so live and so do as those who are going to be judged by the law of liberty. In the heavenly courtroom, your sins don't count. Your sins have been condemned, not you. Meaning they have no judicial bearing in heaven, your sins. The sins that you did this morning and today, they don't have any judicial bearing. Why are you trying to get rid of them? He already got rid of them in the Spirit. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ. So live and so do as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. You're going to be judged by the law of liberty. You need to say that to yourself every day. I'm going to be judged not by my sins, not how I feel, but how he feels. Take him to be your salvation every day. That is sanctification. So, that's what I learned being here all these years. But it's working now because I got mad at God. He's not disturbed by anything we do. I don't care what it is. People are, even Christians. Even Christians, Walter knows. Even Christians, Walter's got these people from New York or wherever just condemning the snot out of him. I tell you what, those people aren't going to make it if they continue in that. You can be a Christian and be religious, but I mean, only God can judge that. He knows the heart. But I don't know how you can be a Christian by grace and live under law, which I did, by the way, but I didn't want to. I couldn't figure out how to get out of that. And what I'm saying is, when you're cold, it'll start working. The gospel will start working. And you are cold. I'm not saying you need to go become cold. That's the way a legalist thinks. You're saying that we sin that grace might abound? Paul says, your condemnation is just. What is that? What does that have to do with it? What are you talking about? Well, I believe what he was saying was, you're under law, so your condemnation is just. You're saying that you're not sinning, and I'm telling you to not sin, to go ahead and sin. No, you're already sinning. You're already sinning. You say to this person, don't commit adultery, but you already do it every day of your life. You do it inside, and I count that. And I'm waiting for you to just admit it. That's all. The worst people, to put it humanly, make the best Christians. The best people make no Christian at all. I was afraid of that growing up, Flood. I didn't grow up like you. I had a lot of religion in me, and I was scared. I remember when I went to Baylor, and I joined a Highland Baptist church, and there was a lot of spirit-filled people there. Teaching wasn't as good as here, which is, this is what I needed. But there was spirit-filled Christians. And so I hung out with them, but I always felt like, I don't have what they have. And I felt scared about that. I grew up with that fear of that little kid. I'm not going to make it. Don't you have to actually be a Christian? And you can't do that either. Four uses of the law: to declare what he wants, perfection, which only he has, to destroy your religion, to drive you to the gospel, where you're free as a bird. That creates holiness. The fruit of the free gift of righteousness is holiness. It's a fruit. But your holiness and your good works, which you don't do, but Christ does in you and through you, are a fruit of the total salvation that you already have in Christ. Salvation is in chair four. It's not in your holiness. And if you didn't go on to holiness, you're not walking in the free gift. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And I mean, Jim used to go like this. I remember one day he was talking about abiding in him, abiding in Jesus. And he says, you don't abide and then do. He says, you just stay in abiding. You just keep looking up like this, and then slowly this little circle down here starts coming out because it's fruit. It's fruit of him, because you're taking him for your sins. And it just grows and grows and grows. So if you're not, if this isn't happening, what James was saying is, if this isn't happening, you didn't continue in this. You believe, but you didn't continue believing. It's not just intellectual belief. It's I believe in regards to my sin, that you love me, and I can't do this. You just keep taking it. In the same way in which you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you receive him? By your works or by his works? By faith. In the same way you received, so walk ye in him. So you walk by faith. The walk is by faith. It's already accomplished. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared, ordained beforehand through Christ, that we can walk in them. He knew we couldn't keep the law. He just gave it to you so you'd realize that you can't keep it. So that's it. Four uses of the law. Now the law describes you. Whatever law you find, Jim said this just like a little over a year ago. He said, every verse in the Bible is a promise. If you live that way, you'll find yourself doing. Because it's a fruit. Okay, I'm finished. Now what? Okay.